Good morning. A really happy Easter to everyone. If you could keep your Bibles open at that passage, that would be really helpful in a moment. But first, I'm going to begin this morning by us taking a look at what is possible and what is impossible. And so I need my helpers from the junior choir. If you could come and just line up along here, that would be really helpful. Right, so how many have I got? Okay. So Jess, if you could hold, I hope people can see these. So you may need more than one each. I'm gonna. Okay, now, Megan on the end here, I'm gonna give you, perhaps Tom, if you could take the P. Megan, if you could have these two, you're the one who's got the action to do, okay? Everybody else can just stand there. I better get out the way here. So I'm going to come out with some questions, and you need to decide if you think what I'm describing is possible or impossible. And we might do this by a show of hands, but hopefully that'll the answer will be clear, and there'll be some obvious agreement amongst you all. So the first question is, can a person get younger instead of older? Possible or impossible? Impossible. Everybody agreed with that? Yeah. Okay, so we need your im there. Thank you, Megan. Next question. Can a dog pop 100 balloons in less than 45 seconds? Come on. Who thinks that is possible? Okay. Who thinks that is impossible? Oh, possibles win. Okay, so Megan, off you go, right? That is possible. A Jack Russell did it in 2008 in less than 45 seconds. Next question. Can a steam train go over 100 miles an hour? Possible, yes, because if you were watching, it happened this week. A train called Tornado did this on the East Coast Main Line. Possible. Right. Next question. Hope I don't offend anyone. Can Leicester City win the Premier League again this year? Who thinks that's possible? Oh, you are so optimistic. And you've probably got your head in the clouds as well. That is, in fact, impossible. Thank you, Megan. Statistically, it cannot now happen. Now, two trickier questions. Can a dead person live again? Possible? Who do we have for possible? Oh, yep. Impossible? Okay, yes, we might well be divided on that here this morning, maybe. Next question. Can someone hear without hearing? That's a tricky question. Who thinks that's possible? I think that is indeed possible. And we'll see that in a moment, that somebody can hear without hearing. So thank you, helpers, if you'd like to you give them a round of applause for their thank you. Okay. Just move this. In many situations, we're clear, aren't we, what's possible or impossible. Sometimes we have tests and evidence. And we're going to look at the events of Easter morning by taking a closer look at two things that the two men, probably angels, that met the women at the tomb on Easter morning, two things that they said that were mentioned in our reading. And the first, in verse 6, is remember how he told you. On that first Easter morning, it's clear that no one thought resurrection was possible. they would have had some notion of it in their religion, because in that world, it was what God was going to do at the end of time on a large scale for all God's people. But nobody had dreamed that one single person would be killed, dead, and buried, and then raised to some sort of bodily life, the other side of the grave, while the rest of the world carried on as before. The women clearly didn't think it was possible. They weren't saying, let's take the spices to the grave in case he's still dead, but let's hope he's alive. They knew that dead people remained dead. The disciples didn't think resurrection was possible. Verse 11 tells us they didn't believe the women. Their words seemed like nonsense, basically what you'd expect from a few women crazy with grief, unhinged by emotion and lack of sleep. Only Peter takes a deeper look. He goes off to the tomb, but goes away wondering what's taken place. He doesn't conclude that perhaps the women should be taken seriously, or that Jesus is alive. He just wonders. If Luke had been making this story up after the event, as many people suggest, he would not have had women going to the tomb first, because women weren't seen as credible witnesses in that world. And he would have had the apostles believe the story at once, ready to be models of faith and to lead the young church. But instead, he testifies to the fact that the message of the resurrection came to women first, those who were insignificant, who lacked status at that time. And instead, Luke describes the lack of faith and understanding of the disciples, ready to dismiss the resurrection news as impossible and simply nonsense. But yet, they had all heard Jesus talk of his death and resurrection, and it's recorded from chapter 9 onwards in Luke's gospel. So sometimes it is possible to hear words, but not really hear them, because you don't understand them at the time they were spoken. And if you add to that the impact of trauma, shock, or depression, it can be impossible to bring back to mind words that have been spoken that might help. The women only remember Jesus' words when the two men in shining clothes remind them, remember how he told you. It's just as he said, the impossible is possible. And then they remembered. It's Jesus' words that help us make sense of what's happened and is happening in our lives. We, like those women, can all too easily hear what the Bible says or hear the encouragement of others, but not actually hear it so that it makes a difference to us. We get bogged down in our circumstances, our failure or fear, or our need to be in control, and we need to be reminded of the promises of God. Sometimes we need someone else to stand with us in faith during a time of need. Or we may need to take time to hear and to really listen, allowing the noise of the world to quieten so that we can think about what's really important and not put it off any longer. Remember how he told you. What Jesus says is true and he is faithful. Hold on to it. I'm just going to pause there because I've realised that Nick's disappeared from the organ. Is he okay? Has anybody seen him? No? If you're in the band, is Nick around? Has he moved up into the choir? Where's he gone? Oh, somebody's seen him. Where is he gone? Where is he? It's like a pantomime. It's behind you. Nick, what are you doing up there? you can come down now. I know the choir can be scary, but, you know, I'm sure they'll take care of you. Come on down, come down. And the other person who's gone, who was there, was the rector, Will Hunter Smart. Now, we're going to need him for the rest of the service, so I'm now a little bit worried about where Will has... Has anybody seen him? Joseph, have you seen him? He's at the back. What's he doing at the back? He's in the creche. I'm sure that the creche is more fun, but sorry, Will, we do need you here for the rest of the service.
Where is he gone?
He's right there. And he's bringing something back with him. Brought something with him. What have you brought?
A cup of tea, Joy.
Oh, lovely. Thank you. Thank you. Lovely. Do take a seat with yours. The two men with their shining clothes said to the women, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" If they wanted to find Jesus, they had gone to the logical place to look, where they were certain that he would be, the grave that his body had been laid to rest in. And it was the same with Nick and Will. If we're looking for them in church, the logical place to look is where we can be pretty certain they would be. Although I'm sure Nick would make a great preacher, we expect him to be involved in the music. And it's logical for Will to be at the front rather than the back. So he was in the opposite place that we'd expected. The women were told that they were looking for Jesus in the wrong place. They were looking among the dead when he is, in fact, alive. And if Jesus remains among the dead, what are we left with? We're left with a teacher who dies in his 30s as a failed Messiah. Someone who makes great promises about God, but comes to a pitiful end. Why should we bother with a dead Jesus? His nice teaching about God's love, we believe already. But his challenging teaching, we can dismiss as he's dead and gone. And we can pick and choose which bits we like. If he remains among the dead, his teaching and ministry hadn't been successful. And we can't assume that anything he said is necessarily true. But if Jesus rose from the dead and we find him among the living, things start to look a bit different. We have a Jesus in whom God was at work. So we need to know what he said and what he did, because it comes with a stamp of divine approval. Because of the resurrection, Jesus' words and actions have the power to bring God's love into our lives today. We have a sure and certain hope for our lives today on earth, and also the fact that physical death is not the end. We are living in a world where God has stepped in. Jesus is not among the dead because he is alive, and so we can find meaning for our own lives, that our needs are met to be secure, to be significant, for satisfaction. And we're to live out Jesus' teaching for the world around us as Easter people. Yet I suggest that still we tend to look for Jesus in the wrong places, just as the women were doing on that first Easter morning. All those things that only Jesus can give, we look for elsewhere. We think we'll be satisfied if we have the most up-to-date iPhone or that brand of handbag. Or perhaps it would be a Star Wars walkie-talkie or a dress like Belle's in the Beauty and the Beast film. Our feelings of security are often caught up with our house or our salary or who our friends are. We are in danger of looking in the wrong places for our God. And if you're a Christian here today, you probably need a rain check from time to time with yourself and God as to where you are looking for Jesus. And secondly, could it be possible that we are still looking for Jesus among the dead? Perhaps our Christianity ended with Good Friday, and we need to learn to follow a living person, not a dead one. Easter is not a message of the past. Jesus is alive today, and we need to live in the light of that. That means that we can live as if we have been forgiven, because we have. And if we have a risen Jesus, we must respond to him. That may be a gradual thing for you, or something that suddenly hits you. But at some point, we all need to verbalize a response to Jesus. And if we decide to follow him, we discover that being a Christian is not primarily about obeying a set of commandments or being religious, but enjoying a relationship with a living person. Without the resurrection, there is no good news. There is no point in following Jesus. So let's hear again the words of Easter morning to the women as they went to anoint the dead body of the Lord Jesus. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Jesus is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you. Let's pray. Lord, please forgive us that we forget your words and we look for you in the wrong places. Help us to listen to you and to find you. Thank you that you are alive and we celebrate you today. Amen.